Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'm going to call to order this meeting of the Senate Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources. Today we are Monday, May 8th, 2017. Glad to have you all here. We have three representatives coming to visit us.
But we know which one thinks are the most important.
Actually, I have to leave today. But be in Central Oregon by 6:30, so I'm.
And you care about historic cemeteries? That's really nice.
Okay, so for once, we're going to have quick testimony from a House member. So we will open our public hearing on House Bill 3158A. You're very welcome, Representative McClain.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mike McClain, and I represent District 55 in the House of Representatives. There are two bills I'm concerned about today, House Bill 3158 and House Bill 2515. I proposed, along with the chairs of the Sportsman Caucus, House Bill 3158 to alleviate an acute problem in my district with poaching. The details are troubling in that a 2010 report after analysis in my district showed that there were more illegal deer taken than legal deer. And since that time, it's ebbed and flowed. I had a constituent suggest to me Oregon might do what Utah did and offer to supplement the TIP program, which is Turn In Poachers, to allow tags and units where you eradicated a poacher. That was amended to include preference points. So if the House bill is adopted, Oregon would include in its TIP program not just money but preference points. Preference points to hunters are highly valued. You cannot buy them. You can only earn them. And the more preference points you get, the more likely you are to get a highly valued legal tag of, say, a bull elk or something like that. So that's the bill. This is, like I said, a good friend of mine who is an outfitter and wants to see poaching eradicated, as do I. It's cheating and it's wrong. I urge you to pass House Bill 3158. I'm happy to answer any questions, or I could give you my 2 cents on why you should not pass House Bill 2515.
Okay. Any questions of Representative McClain on this bill, 3158?
Nope.
Okay. Then I'm going to temporarily close the public hearing on 3158. Open our public hearing on House Bill 2515.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Mike McClain. I'm a state representative for District 55. House Bill 2515, I opposed in the House. It had some history in my district and neighboring district. The sponsor of that bill, to my right, Representative Gomberg, I think when hearing the reasons why I opposed on the floor, understood more my position, and I certainly leave it to him in that regard. The issue I have with 2515 is that large ranches in central and eastern Oregon have these historical cemeteries, pioneer cemeteries, what many of them are called. They are frequented on occasion by citizens in smaller towns, folks that live there year-round. Maybe some of them are family members, maybe some are not, but it's a tradition, and they often have days where they go up and take care of the pioneer cemetery or have a visitation there. There has been regulations in some of the smaller counties as to reasonableness. My concern is this. There already is a growing tension on the closure of access in large ranches who anecdotally speaking, are being purchased, frankly, by non-Oregonians. So when I'll just give you, again, the example in Wheeler County, when an out-of-state resident purchases a large ranch and then seeks to close down access or on public roads to and from that ranch or through it, usually, it causes enormous amount of tension. I would say that the if you want to see the protests in Portland erupt in fossil, then try to close down public access on a road that people have been historically given. So in that atmosphere of tension, we have a bill that would allow or restrict access to in Section 1-2B by accessible at reasonable times to be designated by the property owner for visitation, maintenance, or research purposes to the owner of the historical cemetery, descendants of those persons buried there, into persons conducting historical research. The challenge is we turned these property owners are not the person at the gate. That's a hired help. Those people are then stopping locals, and they're putting them through a test, and they're asking folks, well, are you conducting historical research? And I would submit to you that we are inviting conflict where none need be. When we have employees of a large ranch, again, in a tense environment, asking locals who have grown up there whether they are conducting research. And then you're leaving it to that employee to then make a judgment call. And I believe that if, again, anecdotally speaking, because I have no research, I've done no study, I've not hired PSU to come in with its doctoral candidates and analyze this. But I have grown up in one of these towns. I have represented both landowners and individuals in these towns, and I live very close to these towns still today, and I can tell you this is a disaster in the making. Because if you think local folks who have been visiting a pioneer cemetery for years are going to be stopped at a gate by the hired hand of some out-of-state landowner and turned away because they aren't conducting research because you're not a member of a doctoral team from Oregon State University or something like that, then, you know, this is going to cause enormous amount of unnecessary tension. I don't have anyone trying to shut down public roads except large, large landowners in my district, neighboring districts. And even when it's someone who is from the community, like the heir of Les Schwab, it causes enormous disruption and protest and anger. So I submit to you that the good intentions of 2515 perhaps did not understand that this is a environment that the legislature should not be promoting. We should be de-escalating the conflict. That's why I feel strongly about it. I do publicly apologize to Representative Gomberg that I didn't come to him prior to it coming to the floor because I was distracted on other bills, and when I read it, I was alarmed. So here I am in the Senate asking you to if you have questions, talk to the members of the Senate who represent these areas, and I believe they will affirm that access is one of the hot-button issues in rural Oregon, especially east of the mountains. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. That's my pitch. Please don't move the bill. If there is a real problem we got to solve, let's do this in a more thoughtful manner than setting up someone to fail by being the, quote, gatekeeper of public access Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Rep. McLean. Rep. Gunberg, if you could explain to us what problem this bill is seeking to address with our current practice?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For your record, I'm David Gomberg from House District 10 on the Central Coast. We're jumping around a little bit. First, I just wanted to say very briefly, I like 3158, and perhaps coming from a different perspective than Representative McLean, but still think it's important not only for the hunters of Oregon, but also for all of Oregon that we address the poaching problem. But let me jump back over to the conversation here, and that is 2515. Essentially, what we have here, Mr. Chairman, is that we have small pioneer cemeteries that have become islands in private property. And there are easements that exist to those islands for the public to come and visit, as they well should, these pioneer and historic cemeteries. Well, some people are coming out with the best of intentions, some people coming with other motives. And as I was dealing with the piece of legislation, which I anticipate we'll be talking about in just a couple of moments, 2516, it was suggested to me that we take a look at the wording in the current statute that says in order to have an easement to approach these properties, that you have to be interested in historical research, and that we change that from simply being interested in research to actually conducting research. Now, there wasn't any definitions in there about what actually constitutes conducting, whether you need to be working on your PhD or whether you're just trying to check up on your family roots. One way or the other, the bill moved forward through committee in the House. When it came to the floor, Representative McLean offered, I think, some very constructive criticisms of the bill. I will tell you that that I am not unsympathetic to the important points that he is making. It's not clear to me whether we should be looking at some amendments or whether this bill should simply go away for another time, another session. But I wanted to come here today to present it to you as the sponsor and explain that bit of background. I'm particularly pleased that Representative McLean was able to come here and articulate better than I the concerns that he's bringing forward today.
Thank you. Thanks, Representative. Representative McLean, so the people that you're concerned about, they're not descendants, they're not conducting research, they're presumably going there because they're interested in historical research. What are they doing there?
Well, Mr. Chair, I can't really give you anything but my own experiences with people who have felt very strongly about access. And I think their first answer would be because everyone in my town has always come out here, and by God, so will I. So there is a sense of this is just another instance where access is being curbed. And that tension has validity. There has been a reduction in access for those who live in those parts of our state. Second of all, I suppose if they have an interest in going to a historical site because they're proud of the history of their region, there are, for an example, military outposts. One particular cemetery area is where the federal government, the Union Army, had an outpost, and people like to go there and stand there and look at the vista and say, gosh, this is where 150, 60 years ago, Union Army had troops. And the like. And so I do believe there is legitimacy to the desire of wanting to just put your foot on the same ground or near the plots where people who pioneered Oregon lived and were buried. So, but I don't know. I know there have been amateur historians who have who like going out there. There have been locals who have self-published books. The Collins family is a good example, and others who have done books on their family history and what pioneer cemeteries are, you know, and so-and-so. And so if, you know, is Uncle Joe is buried there and he was the first one to die on the wagon train, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not quoting the Collins book, but that's an example where other people who have read it have said, wow, that's really interesting. My parents, for an example, and I grew up in Condon. My parents, after I had moved away and was living elsewhere, they used to take day trips with another couple from Condon, and they would go visit places like this because they had read various self-published books. So I don't know if any, you know, I just think we have to be careful before we start to create any valuation of the legitimacy of one person's interest / research and someone official. There's a tradition. Mm-hmm. And that tradition is very, very important to the people who live there.
Right. So, I mean, I think the idea of the statute, you know, as I read it, you know, is that, you know, this is not for people, you know, to go out and have keg parties, you know,
correct.
Or whatever.
Correct.
So, I mean, is there a way that you could include both of those goals? You know, that is, it would be open to descendants, but also to persons keeping the interested in local history or conducting historical research, that it would be open to both of those things?
Certainly, I defer to Senator Roblin.
Senator Roblin.
So I guess I'm going to ask this question to Representative Gomber. It looks like the only thing you're doing is taking out interested in and replacing it with conducting. So you're tightening it up. Was it purposefully to tighten it up, or was that, and if it was, why did they not want just interested in? I mean, I was the principal at a high school that has our own cemetery on our grounds. Like the University of Oregon. We have people come all the time, and we have a care. At the high school.
I'm not going to your school.
We used it all the time for that. We just said, look out there.
Yeah.
You know, you might be there soon, and you think, and there's a whole line of babies that died during a particular era, so yeah, they understand. It was a.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, Senator.
The last hanging done in Oregon was in one part of our campus. So, yes, we have that too. So we have a long history. And people come all over to see this historical cemetery. Now, we have the key at the high school because the city owns it and they don't want to have a key. So we open it up for anybody. During the school day, it's usually open. And it's amazing how many people want to just, because they're interested. They're not doing research. Though our kids would tell them that there's one person that's buried there that has a real historical name. It's not the right one, but it's a little house on the prairie name that everybody comes to see their name. And there's interesting things to see. When an epidemic went through, you can tell by all of the graves. You can see a lot of other kinds of things. It is an important thing. We have others of these around private property up and down Coos River and other places. I've had clubs that have gone to clean them and take care of them because everybody wants to do that. So I think there is. So I guess what my question is, why did we move from interested to conducting historical research? What was the motivation behind that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Senator Roblin. Again, I want to stress I'm not unsympathetic to the points that Representative McLean is raising here. When this issue was first brought to me, the intent seemed to be to try and discourage frivolous or mischievous access to private property. Using the notion that I'm interested in cemeteries and research, and to narrow it a little bit more by saying rather than just simply being interested, that I'm actually conducting, but leaving that somewhat ambiguous.
Okay, because you don't have a definition of that, so it would be ambiguous.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Rep. Comer, typically when I travel, my wife and I, we are Civil War buffs. And we go to cemeteries off the beaten path to walk through them to see if there are any Civil War soldiers that are there. And then I go ahead and research to find out what unit they were with and all that stuff. And I see many people that like to do the same thing. There's many cemeteries on the way down to Florence that one could stop at and look at. And I can understand the problem that Representative McLean is bringing forward, is that when it becomes on private property, and you write a bill that limits the access to family members or just interested people, people that are interested in Oregon history, wanting to follow the Oregon Trail or settlers or anything like that, I think that this bill would certainly be very disruptive for those people that wanted to continue that, as in lieu of the property owner giving very strict hours and then allowing you to go in and come back out again, or using it as a reason to keep you off the property. And I would find that discouraging, because I think these bodies are the state's bodies. They're the state's history. And I would probably encourage you to maybe look at perhaps an amendment to open it up a little bit.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, this is not my highest priority measure, and you're not going to hurt my feelings if it goes away. And I think that that, as you point out, when you have interest beyond simply the interest in some social interaction or a couple of beers, that you're a little bit closer to conducting research than you are in not. But be that as it may, I would be happy to talk to Representative McClain and see if there's a path forward. If not, maybe this this measure goes the way of some of the things that are in our historic cemeteries.
Well, Mr. Chair, I might add that, you know, a lot of the folks who have purchased large areas of land that contain these islands of private cemeteries have done it knowing that the public has access. So I'm unsympathetic when they complain about the public having access. Second of all, whatever we come up with, we can't have these large ranch employees being the gatekeepers, because it's a disaster. And third, we need to preserve all Oregon folks who have an interest. I think the statute's fine. In other words, we don't need the bill, but I think Representative Gomberg has a good point, and that is when hooligans use it, or, you know, locals who have shenanigans as their intent, that's not a reasonable use, and maybe we need to give a few more exclusionary tools. I just think we can do better.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Roper.
Two things quickly. I think that, Senator, also when you get down to Coos Bay, our students have identified all the veterans and bought new headstones for all of them, including the Civil War veterans. So, and there are some, so you can go and take a check. And the only thing I would say that I absolutely agree with you and figuring out, both of you, on that one. We had a ration of people who believed in satanic stuff in the late 70s, early 80s, I think it was. Might have been late to the late 80s. And they wanted to use cemeteries in very inappropriate ways. And so I think there are reasons that you don't want people having access that are going to use it for the wrong reasons. So.
Right.
Agreed. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you both. Yeah, I think we have to get a better sense of what the problem is here. Yeah. What the Senator Brzezinski.
Yeah, I guess I just want to put on the record. It seems to me we have tools to take care of people who are doing things they're not supposed to be doing under their criminal laws. And if not, that's where we should have sanctions. Just listening to this, I'm concerned about us limiting access to these historical places. I can't tell you how many pioneer cemeteries I ride by and stuff, drive by and see, and sometimes like, you know, maybe I want to stop there, and knowing that you couldn't do it, and I'm trying to figure out why. And I think, unfortunately, Representative McClain's left, but to me, I still have a real hard time trying to figure out how we have public lands that are interlocked around private lands, and you can't get there because there's gates and everything else. And it's, to me, that's the type of stuff, because to me there should be, I would assume there's easements to get to the public lands, and this here, as a cemetery, seems to fit that bill.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to close our public hearing on House Bill 2515, and apparently Representative McClain has no problem with 2516, so I'll open a public hearing on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For your records, I am still Representative Gomberg from House District 10 on the Oregon coast. 2516. a more significant problem. And if I can start by saying, Mr. Chairman, our attitudes, our traditions regarding death are changing. And many more people are being cremated, and many more people are then being scattered in areas that don't include traditional cemeteries, which is all well and good, except that we have a number of private and nonprofit cemeteries that are having trouble paying the bills. In Lincoln County, where I reside, there are now 7 abandoned cemeteries that then become the property of the county and the challenge of the county to maintain. And if I could say rather indelicately, while they're not filling up with family members, they are filling up with trash, they're filling up with blackberries, they're filling up with weeds, they're filling up with graffiti, and we are looking for tools to address those kinds of problems when our resources, that is our money, to be able to address those kind of problems is becoming more and more harder to come by. So looking at that situation, I then turn to distinct but similar kind of problems we face on our public beaches, and that is that we've got trash and we've got other kinds of problems there, and we bring volunteers in from all over Oregon to clean up our beaches on a regular basis, the wonderfully successful SOLVE program. I said, why can't we do things like that in our historic cemeteries as well? Now, the situation is a little more delicate. When you go into a cemetery, you need a little bit of preparation in terms of the sensitivities and the traditions and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate in the process of cleaning these historic locations up, but we're still looking for a mechanism by which to make that possible. And maybe it's going to be a local scout group, maybe it's going to be a group of freedom riders who often attend cemeteries, maybe it can be a group of students at Marshville High School who go next door to the cemetery and clean it up on a regular basis. So this is a straightforward piece of legislation that allows the State Parks and Recreation Department to issue permits to entities to restore, maintain, and preserve abandoned cemeteries, and also allows the department to adopt rules relating to the issuance of those permits. Again, a simple, straightforward tool that we've got to encourage people to get into our cemeteries and pull the weeds, pick up the trash, set the stones upright, maybe clean some of the graffiti, and remember along the way that these cemeteries are filled with our relatives, with our veterans, with our history, and are deserving of more respect and more support than we're currently able to give them.
Right. Mr. Chair. Yes, Vice Chair.
Rob Gonberg, this is a great bill. There's a cemetery on Meridian Road just outside of Woodburn with headstones from the 1870s. And it's just totally overgrown. One would never know it's there unless you actually saw the little sign that's buried. And I think this would be appropriate to clean that cemetery up.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. Senator Olson, I just wonder, were you there conducting research or were you just interested in visiting?
Well, I actually drove by and saw the cemetery sign and stopped and to see what was there, and found this cemetery with these headstones from the 1870s. Beautiful little location, but just totally unkept.
Yes, Senator Roma.
And I will tell you that when you get ingenious kids after things, they find out things like, did you know that the Department of Defense will replace all headstones of veterans all the way back to the Civil War? Mm-hmm. If you can show them that you need it needs to be replaced, they will mail it to you, your cemetery. So there are groups out there that are willing to do some of that kind of stuff. And I think that it's great for kids to start understanding their history. We have a great little cemetery in Newport on South Beach that's now being taken care of a little bit, but not much, you know, that's on the hill that's right next to the university out there that a few people have taken me to just because they thought it would be good to see. And we're losing the records of who those people are, which is also sad. So I think it's a great opportunity for, and great community event things. So thank you.
Okay, any other questions?
Looks like you get one out of two.
I'll take that. Thanks, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for your courtesy and your time on both these measures today.
Okay, great, thank you. So we'll get this scheduled for sometime very soon. And I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2516. Colleagues, why don't we go through our work sessions right now? We're all here. These should be all straightforward. So we'll just take them in order. Start with open a work session on House Bill 2143A. Vice Chair?
Chair Dembrough, I move House Bill 2143A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson has moved House Bill 2143A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And this is the one that creates Oregon Outdoor Recreation Day. Is there any, Senator Robles?
Just a discussion. I just want to put on the record, I would rather that we not have to be in session on that Saturday of the first day of June, so that our president hears that if we make this, it would be better if we're outside.
We could be outside right now.
Yeah, you know, I certainly held many classes outdoors. We could just move this committee out.
Okay, that would be fine.
Right. Except not next to your cemetery.
Yeah. Oh, it's such, it, yeah. You'll just be excited to come by and visit.
Okay, any further discussion of House Bill 2143? Is there any objection to this motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Do we have a carrier for this? Is there a sponsor?
Both representatives.
Okay.
I'll carry it.
All right, Vice Chair will carry. Okay, close our public hearing on 2143. Let's open our work session on House Bill 2179A, and this is the one about biosoils being able to be processed on site.
Chair Dembrough, I move to adopt the -A3 amendment dated 5/3/17.
Vice Chair Olson has moved to adopt the A3 amendments dated May 3rd, 2017. Beth, what were those amendments?
That was language.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this was the language to clarify that what is being okayed for treatment is septage.
Right.
So originally it talked about, it had different words to describe it, so it's a more accurate description.
Great. Any discussion of the amendment? Okay. Any objection to our adopting the amendments? Okay. The -A3s are amended.
Chair Dembrough, I move House Bill 2179A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson has moved House Bill 2179A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion, colleagues? Any objection to this motion? Okay. So ordered, the motion, this bill will go to the floor. Senator Robles?
No.
No.
That's right, it's Burchard. He's on it.
All right.
All right.
I think we I'd rather have the cemetery.
Stark wanted to make sure that happened, so he was here to watch you.
He set me up.
Okay, I'll close the work session on House Bill 2179A. Open our work session on House Bill 2405.
Don't answer any questions. You won't like the answers.
Chair Dembrough, I move House Bill 2405 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Vice Chair Olson has moved House Bill 2405 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And this is the one that allows tribal governments mm-hmm. to be eligible for grants,
correct.
Right? Any discussion of this motion, colleagues? Is there any objection to the motion? Okay, motion carries. Was there a person?
I'll carry it.
All right.
I'm a veteran. I'll carry it.
Okay.
War memorials.
Good.
All right. Vice Chair Olson will carry. Close the work session, House Bill 2405. Open our work session on HCR 8.
Chair Dembrough, I move HCR 8 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson has moved HCR 8 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. And this is the beach bill. 50th anniversary bill. Any discussion? Any objection? Okay. The motion is adopted. Senator Roblin?
I'd love to. I'll bring sand for everybody.
Thank you. Okay. I'll close the work session on HCR 8. That concludes our work sessions. So let us go back to 3158.
Oh,
yeah. I'm going to reopen our public hearing on 3158. Mr. Elkins, you want to come up? This is the poaching bill again.
Is this another Hansel bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, I'm Al Elkins
representing the Oregon Hunters Association. We just want to say us too in relation to 3158. We thank the sponsors, Representative McLean, Witt, and Escoval for bringing this issue forward. It's a huge issue for us. We're trying to get our hands around it, and this is one of the first two steps we'll take this session. I just want to read briefly to you some from OSP, from Oregon State Police, the 2015 data on the illegal harvest detections. There were 775 big game mammals illegally harvested, 334 salmon steelhead, personal, not commercial, illegally harvested, 1,618 clams personal, and 1,132 crabs personally illegally harvested. We are, as a group, attempting to curtail this activity, and we'll work closely with OSP and ODFNW in doing so. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Elkins. Yes, Senator Roble.
So are those numbers estimates, or are those numbers
actual?
The ones we actually caught?
Yes.
So it's not even close. So the real numbers, that's just...
Yes. The one thing I did not mention, Mr. Chair, if I may, just briefly, the South. We did a South Central mule deer study on the mule deer mortality a few years back. They radio-collared mule deer. Legal harvest was at 11%. Illegal harvest was at 13%.
Yes, Senator Pritchard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Al, how many on that study you did in South Central, how many were harvested by vehicle?
It was a high number. I've got it on my phone. It was a high number.
Catch me later.
Yeah.
No, I know. That's another problem.
Yeah.
Now it's legal.
I'm worried about that.
Any other questions for Mr. Wilkins?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Al. Did you want to come up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sure, Bob.
Bob Olson with the Northwest Steelheaders. I just wanted to add in that we think this is a good idea. It's a good bill. It's a good proposal. The definition of wildlife does include fish, and the department has assured us that when there are particular areas involving fish, that this program could be extended to those involving sturgeon and other particular areas of problem. It's important to protect these public resources, and poaching has become kind of a big ring of bad actors in some situations, and it's important for us to be proactive and do these kinds of things. So thank you,
Mr.
for
Chair,
letting me testify.
I didn't hear Mr. Olson mention bass. So
I was going to mention. That's what I was going to ask. There wouldn't be any such thing as poaching bass, would there?
I have never heard of bass being poached.
There are bag limits.
Poached bass.
There are bag limits.
Very, very tasty.
How many bags do I get?
It's only Monday.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Anyone else who wants to speak to this bill? 3158A. Okay.
All right. Sure.
My name is Colin Murphy. I'm not representing anyone but myself. I live in Portland. I basically survive off game meat. I had a recent conversation with Trooper Brenton Choes out of the Portland district. They have five fish and wildlife officers. One is dedicated to commercial fisheries, so that goes restaurant checks, boat checks, things of that nature. So they patrol all of Multnomah County, all of Clackamas County, portions of Washington, and portions of Marion. So when I go out and hunt in one of those counties, I can pretty much count on not seeing those guys. And so I support this bill in creating some base level advocacy on the behalf of wildlife and for creating self-policing among our own ranks.
Thank you. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever come across poaching? Have you seen?
Not of big game animals. I've definitely seen a lot of waterfowl violations, especially on state land. You know, certain places where you're not allowed to shoot geese. I won a kind of an auction hunt through Ducks Unlimited on private land, and saw electronic decoys, which is illegal. So things like that. And I've reached out to my game officer. That's how I know. That's how I have a relationship with Officer Choate. But yeah, I just really support this kind of a community action against people that are kind of taking advantage of the system that we live so strongly with. And then I'd also like to add that no one really knows these regulations as well as we do, besides these officers and, you know, land use laws and things like that. We take that pretty seriously.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for coming forward.
Thanks very much.
Mr. Chair,
yes,
before you leave, Senator Hansel had an inner-city deer hunting perhaps you could take advantage
urban
of that.
Deer. Urban deer, not
urban, urban deer hunting, yes. Perhaps you could take advantage of that.
Yeah.
I think those animals will be taken by numbers. Police officers.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Don't get
started.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah,
all right, I'm going to close our public hearing on House Bill 3158 and open our public hearing on House Bill 2030. So, Shannon and Doug, please. Okay. From bass to bears.
I don't know where this is going to go. Good afternoon, Chair Dembrough, Vice Chair Olson, members of the committee. For the record, Shannon Hearn, Deputy Director at Department of Fish and Wildlife. Doug Cottom is going to handle our testimony on this. I just wanted to mention the genesis of this bill. This has been a technical fix that we have needed for some time. We had a conversation with the Oregon Hunters Association, and in particular with their board, and they, at their request, Representative Klim was willing to submit this bill. So we did get permission to support it. And we are probably in the best position trying to explain what it is, as it's a technical fix.
Chair Dembrough, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Doug Cottom, Wildlife Division Administrator for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. So House Bill 2030A amends the revised statute 497.112, which is, and that will eliminate a 3% limitation we have on non-resident general season fall black bear hunters. It will not eliminate the 3% limitation on controlled tags for non-resident black bear hunters. So the department, we support this bill for several reasons. So our most recent inventories of black bears indicates that our black bear populations throughout the state are either stable or increasing. We estimate we have somewhere between 25,000 and 30,000 black bears in the state. And we strongly believe that this slight increase in the number of non-resident black bear hunters will not have a negative effect on the bear population, and it's not going to affect the opportunities for our resident black bear hunters. We also, this will definitely streamline the department's business processes. It's going to help us reduce the complexity of our black bear regulations. For example, this statute required us to divide the state into four different zones for non-resident black bear hunters in the fall, and we will be able to eliminate those zones, which will, of course, reduce the complexity. And finally, it will be a slight increase in our revenues, and that revenue will be just put forward back into black bear management. And that's it.
So, Doug, do non-residents pay a higher fee than residents for their tax?
Chair Dembrough, beginning last year in 2016, the cost of a black bear tag for both residents and non-residents is the same. It's $15.50. Prior to that, the black bear non-resident tag fee was $190.
And did you see any change in performance as a result of that? Take-ups of the tags?
Chair Dembrough, we saw an increase of about 500 tags being sold to non-residents, which totaled, in fact, I can probably give you that information. In 2016, we sold a total of just 709 non-resident bear tags, which resulted in 280 people hunting and a total of 21 bears harvested throughout the state.
Yes, Vice Chair Olson.
Doug, why did you drop the non-resident bear tag down to the resident bear tag price?
Chair Dembrose, Vice Chair Olson, we were trying to encourage more non-resident hunters who were hunting here and trying to harvest other game to also purchase the black bear tag, because at $109, very few people were interested in hunting bear in Oregon if they were a non-resident.
Senator Rubin?
It's kind of like cougars. We sell a lot of tags. We don't get a lot of cougars, but we sell a lot of tags. So when is there a limit? I heard the percentages, but is there a limit to the number of bear tags? Have we ever gotten close to selling the non-resident tags that we had available?
Chair Dembrough, Senator Roblin, in over 20 years, we only reached the 3% limitation once, okay. And that was last year in one of the four zones.
Okay, that's.
And presumably that's connected to the lower fee then, right?
Chair Dembrough, Senator Roblin, that's correct. That's what we assume.
And a lot of people don't realize bears are very destructive to the environment at times, whether it's young trees or whether it's deprivation on other wildlife, deer and elk in particular. And then they like to visit, when their population's got out of control, people who feed them in the towns and cities around our area. So they can become a pretty big hazard at times.
Chair Dembrough, Senator Roblin, that is correct. And the Black Bear Management Plan requires that we manage to try and curb those damaging and human health and safety concerns as best we can.
And so again, the difference between the number of bears that were taken and those that are considered a sustainable harvest would be, there's a pretty big gap. Is that what you were saying?
Chair Demo, yes, that's correct.
Yes,
Senator. Yeah, along that line, much of the time we have to have our hunters go out and get to limit the numbers, correct? I mean, do we have hunters that go out and take bear just because it's a problem?
Chair Dembrough, Senator Roblin, similar to cougars, as you have mentioned, we have lost what was our most effective tool, yeah. And so we were encouraging hunting to try and manage that population. And as you've heard, we're on an upward increase with black bear populations as well, so our hunter harvest is not curbing that upward trend.
Senator Bridger.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, $15 doesn't sound like a lot, but I think we're going to get to the point where we're going to be paying people to go hunting.
I agree.
The bear population, yeah, anytime you see the bear population starting to girdle small trees and stuff, they're hungry. They're hungry. That's not what they do normally. Right. So I think the worst thing we did was to pull the dogs out of the hunting scene. I think that we're going to have to revisit that at some time on some limited basis, because bear hunting, like cougar hunting, it's difficult. It's hard, and in some places, parts of the state, the terrain is so adverse that it's just hard for a person to get around to cover enough area to actually do a pretty good hunting job. So, there's other tools that we're going to have to, and we're going to have a serious conversation about that, whether it's just for a very limited amount of time or whatever. But this is it's been what, 20 years now, almost 20 years since the ban on hounds.
21.
No, you're looking at a hound hunter, so I guess I got conflict of interest. But no, seriously, as a tool, we're going to have to start revisiting that conversation. If we don't manage our game in the state, Mother Nature will manage it, and that can be a pretty good, pretty long cycle.
Well, it's a subject people have strong feelings about.
I know it.
How's that for a politician?
We have way more people in this room.
We won't bring up trapping.
Any other questions about this? I noticed that it attracted some no votes on the floor, and I was told they sort of came out of, they were unexpected. Do you have a sense of what went on there?
Chair Dembrough, my best sense of it is we did the same testimony on that side as really this is a technical fix. We're not really trying to remove a significant more number of bears out there. And then the floor speech by the carrier was a little bit different in characterizing as the safety and health concerns and really trying to address bears. And I get a sense to some degree people were a little taken aback by that.
That's fair.
Just
thank
in
you.
The difference, yeah.
Any other questions, colleagues? Okay, thank you both. We'll get this scheduled soon.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to speak on House Bill 2030?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator.
Before you adjourn, I'm going to ask if we can go back in a public hearing on 2515. I'll just put something on the record.
Okay. All right. Let me first close our public hearing on House Bill 2030 and reopen our hearing on 2515. That's the historic cemeteries one.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to put on the record that ORS 166.076, abuse of a memorial to the dead, actually covers a lot of this. And I vaguely remember this doing this when we were in judiciary some time back. It looks like it probably was done back in 2005. But we basically increased the penalties that can be imposed for individuals that are doing this type of damage at historical cemeteries. Perfect. Even though it's a Class A misdemeanor, which normally would have, I think now, $6,250 fine, they can be fined up to $50,000. So we do have something there. It just seems that we need enforcement and those landowners or whoever else reporting when people are doing bad stuff out of those locations. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. I guess the issue is, are people gaining access to the private land, maybe not necessarily even going to the cemetery, but just getting onto the private land because they say they're interested in history and then are going off and doing something else. Presumably, that
has some laws.
Senator Berkshire will attest to there's a thing called self-help.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for putting that on the record. So with that, I'll close our public hearing on 2515. And I think that covers everything, yes? Okay, so we're adjourned for today, colleagues.
Thank you.
So we're adjourned for today, colleagues.